winning isn't everything, he wouldn't know. He's never lost. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
No lip reading.
No. We got our coach's stance now.
Here's what I don't understand.
Oh, here we go.
So they unveil Russell Martin. Like, you know, they ought to put him in a big box with a ribbon or something and have him come out like a stripper.
I did that once.
You know, like a stripper at a one of those party things.
Yep.
Like a stag, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Stag, that's the word I was looking for. Never had one. Plenty of marriages, no stags. So, so put him in the box and you take off the box and yay, there's Russell Martin. Why do they make these guys put on a jersey and a hat?
To sell them.
No. See, that's...
To sell them.
It's
Bob,
lame.
Bob, you are an entrepreneur.
No, but it's lame.
Bob, you're a capitalist.
People will buy it anyway.
This is just another simple reminder.
The news conference is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 90% of the public is at work anyway.
But they're going to see the clip tonight on Sportsnet Central, and they're going to say, "Oh, that's a jersey. What number is he wearing? 55? Oh, I'm going to go get 55."
So the Blue Jays
they're going to sell 555 jerseys today. Listen, I can tell you right now,
they do that either way.
No, they don't.
Yes, they would.
People need to be reminded. People are not as intelligent at times as you think they are, Bob.
Well, they're not as intelligent as me.
Well, but and you're an entrepreneur. I think you would love this, that the fact that he's wearing this.
Poppycock.
And, the ability to make money.
No. So Russell Martin's going to come in here in an hour.
I hope he's wearing the jersey.
He better not be.
I'm going to make sure he is.
I'm making him take it off. Take that damn thing off.
And, what if he's got nothing else underneath?
Dress like a... No, oh, I'm sure he has something underneath. Dress like a grown-up.
Well, hold on. He's a baseball player. He wears this 162 times a year.
Well, that's his uniform.
Oh, so it's different when it's not...
He has to wear that.
Well, he had to wear it today. When you take $85 million from a company, you have to wear it.
Have you seen the commercial when Brent Laurie goes into the dry cleaner? Does he have his uniform on?
No. Nobody had.
He's picking up his uniform from the dry cleaner.
Of course, that's
of course.
That's
all
a real,
players have to get their own uniform dry cleaned.
That's a real situation.
Really? No, you don't walk around with your uniform on.
He's not walking around. He's at a press conference.
You Phil know, Kessel.
This way I can differentiate. This way I can differentiate between Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston and Russell Martin.
That's what you need.
And I know to buy at BlueJays.com, I know to buy a 55 Martin jersey. It's a reminder. Oh, Dad, I want one of those.
I want a 55 Martin.
I want a 55 Martin
I'd rather
jersey.
Have a 55 Aston Martin.
Well.
So.
Come on.
So Phil Kessel goes to Metro to pick up some bananas. Is he walking wearing his Leaf jersey?
First of all, let me get, if bananas are healthy, there is no chance
Phil Kessel's
buying them. He might go to Burger.
He went for Oreos.
Or Burger Priest.
No, he went
to Burger's Priest.
All right. Or he went to Metro to
Harvey's.
Get Oreos.
Yeah.
He's got the munchies.
Or then, you know, you'd say,
hang on. Oh, God, I got to put
81.
I'll be with you in a second. I got to put my jersey on before I leave the house. Really?
He didn't leave the house with his jersey.
They never wear
it
any. The only time these guys wear their jerseys is on the field.
So, in other words, there's...
Or only when they get announced for something.
So, there's only one person in our business that can actually hawk something on radio or TV.
That's not why they're doing it.
That's why they're doing it.
No, they're not.
Come on. Buffalo.
It's a bad tradition. Tell you what, I want to end this tradition.
They sold a boatload of Sam Reinhart jerseys on the day of the draft after they paraded him up to the front wearing a number 23 jersey.
Draft schmaft. So, you know who has the best draft? The NBA. Because they only make them put on a hat.
Oh, and the hat's doofus. Hat with a suit? I actually don't want the hat on.
Well,
I like the jersey.
You want the guy to take his suit jacket off and put the jersey on over the tie.
Yeah, I think the hat's doofus.
But then they have a hat, too.
Well, no, but, and this is where
at the draft, they have a jersey and a hat.
You might actually have to record this because I agree with Brian Burke on this one. Burke says to his guy when they give him the hat and the jersey, don't put on the hat, kid. They don't. Brian Burke's teams never make the player put on the hat.
But they put on the jersey.
Yes.
That's stupid. Why don't they make him put on the socks, too, and the short pants?
How do you know they don't?
Well, because you only see him from the waist up.
Well, you only see, and the pants cover him. They could be wearing the socks. You don't know, Bob.
Might as well make him get completely dressed, put pads on and everything. Have all the guys sitting in one row with their pads on, but no jerseys.
Usually, I think you are a very thoughtful guy and always think about
But
when you're talking you are the ultimate capitalist. You are the ultimate entrepreneur.
I don't care if they're selling jerseys. They're not selling it today.
They
don't do it for that
reason. I'll
tell you
what, let's find out how many Russell Martin jerseys they've sold today.
That is irrelevant.
No, it's not.
The point is, if Russell Martin hadn't worn his jersey today, would they sell one less?
So and then the first question, Russell, what number are you going to wear? You know, I mean, he wore the Martin 55. Let's go, baby.
You didn't know that? You didn't have that figured out?
I did.
So at least there'd be one intelligent question from the floor as opposed to the bimbo questions that the lamos and the media ask anyway.
So here, then you have to ask Russell, why did you wear the jersey today? Are you going to ask him that question?
Well, I know. I'm going to tell him the jersey looks stupid. Stop wearing the jersey at news conferences.
He's not going to have another news conference, so it's done. But are you going to tell him to take the jersey off if he's wearing it today?
Well, I'm going to ask him why he put it on. What'd you wear that jersey for?
I think of 85 million reasons somebody asked why he put it on. 85 million reasons,
82,
baby.
82, but who's counting?
Okay.
Why doesn't Anthopoulos have a jersey?
I think he did when he signed as the. I think they gave him
something.
They gave him a leather jacket. I think they gave him a leather jacket.
Hey, you got to put. It's just so stupid. Let's stop this. This is a tradition that is stupid.
Mm-hmm. You mean so when Wayne Gretzky flew to Los Angeles and put on the famous King's silver jersey,
the new silver jersey,
you thought it was
stupid?
And yet,
stupid.
It's amazing the legacy of that. Picture of him putting the King's jersey on lives today, Bob.
Yeah, that's because people like you hadn't thought of this, how stupid it actually is.
Well, it doesn't look stupid.
Yes, it does.
You're able to tell stories. By the way, the video between now and the day the Jays play they're building on the signing of Russell Martin. Now you have the video of Russell Martin wearing a jersey. It's easy, Bob. Come on. You know, you're usually really cynical but smart. Today you're just cynical.
I'm not even going to have I'm ending this conversation.
You know how long it took me to get home yesterday?
I don't care.
3 hours. There wasn't that much snow.
Well, you know how long it would have taken you to get home if you put a jersey on?
3 hours.
Exactly the same.
How do you know I didn't?
I'd pay to see that.
I was wearing my Phil Kessel jersey.
It's another thing that ticks me off, too. People that wear jerseys.
Oh, I know. I don't wear jerseys, so. I don't wear jerseys. Grown men.
Like every once in a while, you'll see somebody around here have it's got somebody's jersey. Like, really?
Yeah, I know. I don't have any. I know, that's not true. I have lots. I don't wear them.
And they pan in the crowd and all these people. Like, grown-ups.
I know. I know.
Really?
I know. But those are fans, Bob, and they're your listeners.
I mean, buy the jersey, put it in a frame, hang it in your house.
I've done that, too.
Well, I got a closet full of them. I don't go in the closet very often, but I have them there. Now, my stepson has a couple of jerseys, mm-hmm. signed jerseys, that he's had framed.
And does he wear them?
Well, I got framed. No, they're framed. He doesn't wear them.
So Frameworth.
They're framed.
Your boys at Frameworth.
Yeah, framed them up.
Okay.
And they're in his room.
Okay.
And they're people that he, you know, that he's met. It isn't just people.
Right.
It's people that he's met.
Right.
But he doesn't wear them. He has a Maple Leaf jersey. He doesn't wear it to the games.
You're sure?
Yes. He doesn't. Well, because I know, because it's in a case.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have any that aren't on display. I have plenty that aren't on display. I have three different Gretzky jerseys.
Whoa.
All signed.
By?
Wayne Gretzky.
Oh,
signed by who?
Well.
By who? Coley's there?
Do you have a Coley Campbell jersey, though?
Well.
Those are real collectibles.
I don't know if I'm introducing you yet. I may make you wait a while after yesterday. What happened to you? You get stuck in the snow?
Yes, I did. Come on.
Is this your first day of snow or what?
I oblige by my wife kills me, but it's a rule. You don't use your cell phone or read your emails when you're driving, especially in a snowstorm.
You don't have Bluetooth?
Well, hands-free, you dodo, you know?
No, but Ryan was, and I we were communicating on Texas.
Oh, that's more efficient. I'm not going to talk to you on the phone, but I'll text you.
Well, I know.
While I'm driving.
Well, then you could have done. You just read Coley's texts on the air.
Yeah, we could have had a text communication.
Yeah.
I just texted Coley this question.
Better than closed. You could have done like closed caption.
Then we play some music for a while till you respond.
You don't text, Bob.
I've been known to text.
He texts every once in a while.
I've been known to text every once in a while. If it's really important. For you, Coley, I text.
What did you do wrong to have to work with Shannon so often?
Isn't it awful? So, Coley, let me get your independent opinion on this. Shannon, shut up. So, don't you think it's the stupidest thing you've ever seen when players get traded or signed or whatever, and they hold a news conference, and then they make the player take off his suit jacket and put on the new jersey?
The jersey.
Sweater. Don't you hate that? Isn't that stupid? That's like 5-year-old stuff.
It's worse when they do it with a coach or manager.
Oh, that is really stupid. And I hate the draft when they make the kids go up there and take the suit jacket off. And not only do you have to, in the NHL, not only do you have to put the jersey on, now you got to put a hat on.
You're setting me up. I hate all that stuff, so I'm going to get myself in trouble.
You are already in trouble. You just said it.
He just said it. He agrees with me. You and I are smart, Coley. Shannon?
Listen.
What do you make of that?
Fired, too. How smart is that?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, though. The key thing is that other phone ringing is Brian Jennings from New York. So,
who cares about him?
He knows. Coley knows who Brian Jennings is.
Coley's allowed to have an opinion. I asked him his opinion. He gave me an honest answer. I respect him for that.
I thought you looked really good in that when you signed with the Rangers with that leather jacket, Coley. I thought you looked really good.
Did they make you put a leather jacket on?
Did I put a leather jacket? I don't even remember that.
I think you did.
Do we have a picture?
I said, holy cow, I'm going to get 3 times as much money. This is great.
Well, 30 to 90,000, that's a big raise.
Then I could take that leather jacket and have as a giveaway at my hockey school.
Giveaway my ass. I'd sell the thing. Well, eBay, Coley.
That was before eBay. That was well before eBay.
See, you're wasting your time. We got to talk about the big dry scrape removal.
No, that's why we're wasting this time.
So, Coley, in Chicago, where they have like 8 lovely women do the scraping versus what they do in Buffalo with 12 angry men.
Don't go down that path.
Well, no, but what's going to happen?
We got to get it done right.
12 angry men.
No, but there's going to be different levels of manual scrape, isn't there?
There has been when we've done it already, John. That's each team's individual responsibility to make sure they do a good job with what we've decided to do. I mean, when believe it or not, historically, I think this happened around 1999, 2000, where Ken Dryden was a manager briefly for the Leafs. He suggested that we clean the ice because of the snow around the benches and the net. I thought it was the dumbest idea, but it was a great idea, and teams just expanded on that to clean more ice with the time they've been given, because your TV companies, John, wanted 2 minutes for commercials,
That's a, that was a brilliant idea, the 2 minutes.
And so we had enough time. They had enough time to clean more of the ice and allows the players, the puck, to move better, the players to skate better with less snow on the ice. And, you know, with doing the dry scrape after 60 minutes, we were hoping to bring more games to conclusion overtime with having better ice, but it doesn't make sense. There's no other place you could have tried it than the NHL, and Zamboni drivers did a good job. In fact, I had a conversation with Dave Anderson, who runs the American Hockey League. You've had Dave on there a few times, but and Dave said they were worried about Zamboni's running over a player, and which
seriously?
Is true. You know, they can whip him by the benches there, and the players, oh, they can't all fit on the benches there. And so there was a number of issues that we had with that, but you're right, John. It's you hope that they're consistent in 30 arenas.
But are you not going to be able to insure that? How are you?
We couldn't insure it before, John.
Wow.
You know, like that's each team's responsibility to clean the ice, and hopefully they do it, and we'll be watching. But, this, you know, they have those people in place already to do the job, and you know, it's not about entertaining that way, it's about cleaning the ice. That was our initiative, and what teams have done, that's you know, we don't agree with it. Maybe we have to step in and do something at this point in time, because we're asking them to do more than they did before.
Because in fairness, I think the people in Buffalo do a marvelous job with it, and I think the people in Minnesota do a marvelous job with it.
Yeah, you're right. Minnesota does the same thing. And Larry Quinn introduced it in Buffalo, and they do a great job there. In fact, they manufacture their own type of shovels, and the shovels are heavier. I'm not so sure if some people, female or male, you need enough strength to carry that shovel. It's a steel shovel, metal shovel, and so. But we hope to get there. But, you know, first and foremost, we had to get rid of the Zambonis. It was just a buzzkill for 5 minutes at the end of regulation for both players and fans.
I'd like to get rid of overtime, if you ask me. But
overtime?
Yeah, let's just get rid of it.
And just have a shootout?
No. Oh, shootout? Are you kidding, Coley?
Well, what do you want to do, just end the game?
I'd rather shoot myself than watch a shootout.
Well, what do you want, just end the game in a tie?
How old are you? You're as old as I am. You know, we remember when they had ties. You know, you went, oh, okay, and they went home.
Kissed your sister, right.
Yeah, well.
I hated ties.
Well, I mean, it's not the most ideal result, I suppose.
Well, particularly when you had coaches like Coley's buddy Mike Keenan playing for ties. I mean, he had, what, 26 ties one year?
What do they
year?
Do now? Now they play for, they just do the, they do the
well,
same
no,
thing.
They,
they
no.
play for ties, and then we'll see what happens in the shootout.
Yeah, you're probably right there. Like coaches play not to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah. Particularly on the road.
Yep.
Well, but they do that whether there's a shootout or overtime or anything
else.
But now
they run the risk. There's a better chance at least you're going to try to tell people, you know, somebody's going to win tonight. I like the fact that people go to the game knowing full well, one way or the other, a team is going to win. And I think that's important.
Really?
Yes.
You know, Maple Leaf Gardens used to be full.
And they had
ties.
I was going to say it is.
How many
now,
people stayed home because, oh, my God, I'm not going because the game might end in a tie.
Well,
I won't be satisfied.
There's some things I don't like, Bob, and some things you don't like, but I guess, you know, the people who pay the big money to come to games feel that I guess, John could answer this better than anybody.
Careful there.
Okay. isn't it, if you pulled it, John, don't the fans like the shootout?
Yes. I can tell you what, they stand up, they cheer, they have a good time. My goodness, allowing the fans to enjoy themselves. My God, what a concept.
Well, why don't you just have a shootout? Because those same fans are just sitting on their ass eating popcorn for the 60 minutes during regulation time. Go right to the shootout.
I remember sitting in a, I don't know if, Cole, if you were there yet. Brian, I think, might have been ahead of Hockey Ops, was that we had a Blue Sky event, because I know that the Fox guys and the Disney guys proposed 2 30-minute periods in the event, in the meeting, and they said, why don't we just go to shootout after 60 minutes and pretend the last 5 minutes of the game it feels like overtime. So, I mean, everything's been contemplated. You know that.
I never heard that when I wasn't here then. And
you can check with your boss. He'll tell you that's true. Michael Eisner stood up and said, why don't we go to 2 30-minute periods?
I heard that. You're right. I heard that, Michael Eisner.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Let's not pay any attention to him.
We also had a team president say the last 5 years that, you know, there's no competition in August. We should play for the Stanley Cup in August, too.
Yes, I've heard, I was there for that one.
Yes.
Oh, wait a sec. Let's go down that road.
Start the season in November and drop the finish in July.
Oh, I live on a grassy knoll. I like this one.
As you know, John, we talked about, and I had hope, but that there's no chance, no chance at all. When I first joined the league in this capacity, that maybe we could get the season, the Stanley Cup award in May again. But there's no chance going down that road.
No. That was a That was one of the. That was one of those hills you were going to die on, I think.
I died on it already.
Well, we've missed you since then. What else is going on that I was going to talk about? So now here's this deal. Used to be, if you thought, hang on, was that a goal? Play would continue until the next whistle, and then somebody would go, hang on a sec, we got to check. Remember that 5 minutes ago?
Yep.
Now we're going to go back and take a look at that. So now we're not going to do that anymore. Now we're going to stop it right away.
Well, if we know for sure that the puck was in, it takes us about 20 seconds to determine for sure that the puck was in by the time we have different, obviously. Tonight, for example, you'd have about 11 or 12 games on around 9:30, 10 o'clock, 9:30. And you go to the station where they're watching that game, and he tells us, and we check on the overheads and the in nets, and takes about 20 seconds to determine for sure, then we stop it. Because right now, if you scored a goal, puck hit the camera, let's say, in the net, and the play continued, and then that team took a penalty, you'd have to serve the penalty, even though we wind the clock back. Too many crazy things happen afterwards that we shouldn't stop. But last year, Sidney Crosby just iced the puck. They told him for the benches. After about a minute, he just said enough. He just iced the puck. They kept telling him, we've scored. The puck was in. They knew. Stamkos did it recently about 2 weeks ago. Same thing. Tampa had scored. So that's a procedure there.
How many times in a year would that happen?
In a year, I would say probably 1,230 games, I would say, in a year, where the puck goes in and out, and we review. I'd say probably 20, 25.
Really?
30. You've had three so far already.
Yeah.
Three this year already.
Wow, that's a lot more than I thought.
Well, and the other thing is that, Coley, and you may want to be a little more descriptive, you're not as reliant on television anymore. You have enough cameras of your own that you control, and replays that you control in the room in Toronto that you don't have to wait for TV, do you?
We were slaves to TV when it came to the overheads. They would send us the overheads, and we would hope they would use the overheads for us to look at something. And we have put in-nets in the camera, in-net cameras, as well as we have controlled the overheads, and we have direct feeds to Toronto now, where we have the individual watching the game has a live feed to that. So we'd have to wait for TV to show us that. Now we can go and look at it right away before TV has to stop playing, or we stop playing, TV sends those replays to us. So that has helped. And as you guys know, you're in the business, that all this technical stuff costs money, and we've added that to our playbook. All the other leagues have been in there. In fact, the IIHF was in there on Saturday with a contingent and looking at adding this type of room to their scenario. Now, theirs is a little more difficult. They have events around the world, and I asked them, what would you do, put it in a mobile truck? They weren't sure, and in fact, I've heard they may approach us on the World Junior to see if we can do it for them. We do it for the CHL Memorial Cup. We do the replays for them in our room. We're down, at that point in time, we're down to conference finals, so we work with the CHL to help them out, run the Memorial Cup tournament.
Campbell, I can't believe you complained about money when you just got $5.2 billion from Rogers. Don't you have enough yet?
Oh, boy, that $5.2 billion, that's costing us now. We got to do so much for you guys. Like, I really wouldn't want to go on with you today, but they said they gave you $5.2 billion. You got to go on with Bobcat.
Hey, can I get one clarification on
I got another question.
On the dry scrape?
Sure.
More dry scrape?
Well, no, just so no Zambonis. You're going to do the manual shovel. What are you doing between overtime and the shootout?
Nothing.
We'll watch it, but nothing right now. We figured there's a scrape, Bob, John, after the 6-minute mark,
yeah,
the third period, and then it'll be another scrape at the end of the game, and then before overtime, and hopefully the ice will be good enough. And, you know, and we did those paths before, and as you know, the players, most of the players went to the sides anyways. It didn't bother them. No player complained before, so.
Because that was the one part I really liked. At the end of overtime, you went right to shootout. That was an improvement this year.
Well, that's the problem is that it takes you about 2 minutes to do that, or it took us about 3 minutes to do that Zamboni, and the shootout was over sometimes in, you know, 20 or 30 seconds.
Yep.
So,
the American Hockey League is experimenting with this, you know, 5-on-5 then 4-on-4, or
4-3-3. Yes.
Well, but it's not really because you're. Why aren't you counting goaltenders? Do you not like goaltenders? The goaltenders are on the ice.
Well, okay,
there's five of them, and then there's five players, four skaters, and a goaltender. Then there's four players.
Talk, but if you don't want to talk hockey.
All right, hockey talk. So 4-on-4, then you go to 3-on-3. Holy cow! So. And it's having the desired result.
Yes.
What do you think?
I guess the one thing you have to take in consideration, they do play 2 minutes of extra overtime than we do.
That's right.
So that's seven. And
what's wrong with that? It's not like, you know, it's
you'd have to get you're going to have to get permission from the players to do that, aren't you?
Yes.
Poor babies. They might not want to do it.
That becomes a bargaining chip for the collective bargaining agreement.
Well, you know, I think they've been pretty good lately as far as if it's good for the game. We've talked to Matthew on this a few times, and they haven't pushed back on a couple of these things, and I think they know that they're true partners now. So, you know, you don't want to add more aggravation and hassle to the season, travel, et cetera. But, you know, I don't know if the players, you know, like when we wanted to get rid of the spin ram and shootout, their argument, they finally allowed us to do it. They agreed with us, but the year before their argument was they thought it was entertainment, you know, more entertainment for the fans. So I think if they think this is more entertainment, they may agree to it, you know. So they've been pretty good in that area with us.
Well, next time they throw the entertainment thing at them, tell them you're thinking about playing strip hockey. See how they find that, because that would be entertaining. But, you know, I mean, is that the criteria that the players...
At the end there?
Yeah. So, So, see if the Players Association really is all about entertainment.
I'll let you ask that question.
No, where's Fear? He's hiding.
Doesn't he come on your show?
No, he's hiding. I haven't talked to him since. The only time he comes out, you know, from under the rock is when there's a, you know, a lockout or a negotiation, and he's got a speech that he wants to give. Otherwise, we don't talk. Do you talk to him?
Yeah, I sat in a meeting this week with...
Oh, did you really? So you see him a lot?
Not a lot, no.
Occasionally, at least. So you like this? Do you think we're going to see... There's a chance we're going to see this next year? This revised overtime?
We'll look at it in March, and I think there's a possibility. You know, if you want to go to... John can explain it to you later. Ken Holland, he's the commissioner of the Traverse City League. He tries everything up there, and in his rookie exhibition, they have eight teams up there. We'll discuss it in March, and if the results are good, I think, you know, Gary, we had a good season last year, and he wasn't big on a lot of changes, and I understand why.
Sure.
And I don't think, you know, like we should have a meeting just to have changes. You know, John and his people, the media there, they want us to have a meeting so they can go to Florida. So that's why we have that meeting.
Yeah.
So the meeting
it's always my fault.
Florida. But we'll discuss it down there. And I think, you know, right now we're the changes haven't really changed anything. Our overtime changes haven't changed anything. We're still going the same amount of overtimes.
And shootouts.
Shootouts.
Yeah.
Overtimes aren't being solved, even though we've changed ends and the long changes and you know, affects teams. But there's probably based upon the facts, at this point, it looks good, but I think they paid one-fifth of the season. So we'll look at it at the end of the season and see
I think you should, if you're going to go to 3-on-3, you easily could consider, because of the success of the 3-on-3, of getting rid of the shootout completely.
Just play till the goal scored.
Well, no, play 3-on-3 for a finite, like play four minutes of four on four.
Then you'd end up in a tie. Well, everybody would be unhappy, John. Isn't that what you said?
There'd only be a handful, and I could live with an unhappy handful.
Three minutes of 4-on-4 and 4 minutes of 3-on-3.
That's okay. That's fine with me.
Whatever they do. Right. I don't care.
But it would. You might want to consider that if you know with the success rate the American League's had, like the number
16%. Well, of all games.
So almost 85% of games get resolved.
That's right.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good number.
Well, there's three of us on this phone, and we're kind of debating. Can you imagine the 30 managers and 8 or 10 league people? How long we debate those things?
And yeah. You haven't talked to one coach yet.
That's right.
Yeah, but we, unlike those idiots, we solved this thing in about 30 seconds. We all agreed and we said, let's move on.
The coaches are more difficult, John.
I know. That's why I said it.
Well, we're glad you got home last night.
Well, thank you.
And we understand.
That was good to talk hockey with you guys.
Kick saving a beauty, babe.
Okay.
See you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Coley Campbell, Executive Vice President, Director of Hockey Operations for the NHL.
He's in a really good mood these days.
Yeah, he's not the sheriff anymore. No, he doesn't have to worry about all that crap.
I think he's really enjoyed that part.
He just gets to kind of oversee things now.
Well, I tell you what, it's the best video review system in professional sports. And Major League Baseball's come and seen it. The NFL's come and seen it. The NBA's come and
seen it. I said it from day one. It was the best.
Yep. They do an outstanding job. You should go down there, Bob, one night.
I don't go anywhere.
I know.
Why would I go there?
Because you'd be fascinated. You know why? They got a big-ass TV.
I got a big-ass
TV.
No,
I think theirs is bigger.
Hmm. Hang on.
I might have to go.
Anybody but want to buy a used TV? I got to get a bigger one.
There you go.
How big is theirs?
128 inches.
No, smaller. Mine's bigger.
Sorry.
I'm going now.
Okay.
Rob Ray's going to join us. He's Buffalo Sabres analyst. Yeah, did he say that Toronto is the worst place to play for a hockey player?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what he said, apparently, in radio in Calgary the other day.
Giddy up. All right, we'll have him on. See if he can repeat it here.
If he's not still digging out of the snow.
Well, if he's in, depends on where he lives.
Buffalo.
If he's in the south, well, no, but if he's in the south towns.
Okay.
He's in deep, well, deep doo-doo.
I don't think he is. I think he's in the north.
So. If he's north of the city, then he's fine. Yeah. He's got like what we have here. Nothing. Although it took you 3 hours to get home last night.
Yeah, it did.
What's wrong with people?
People.
What is wrong? It's like you'd never seen snow before.
No, it was awful.
28 before the hour. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go! Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.
Or 90 minutes before the hour. Excuse me. McCowan and Shannon here. Russell Martin, Blue Jays' newest addition, will join us in studio at top of the hour.
In Jersey mode.
No. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Also, Nick Taylor, PGA Tour player, winner on the PGA Tour a couple weeks ago. Don Banks of SI and Glenn Healy
will
also be with us.
Does that qualify him for the Masters?
I believe it does.
Okay.
You want to check?
Because
it's a PGA Tour regular stop win.
Yeah. I always thought the PGA Tour, and I love golf, I thought it ended at the FedEx Cup.
Well, no, what they do now is they start the next season right after the FedEx Cup.
Remember it used to start like with the Hawaii Open in January?
I know.
European, and then the Hope.
European,
and then the two,
European Tour has been doing the same thing for a couple of years now.
Wow.
So it's because
I can't keep track.
You can't have a season after the playoffs are over.
No, I understand
just keep
that.
Going. That's what they used to do.
I know.
We got some breaking news from a DA spokesperson. They just filed a felony case against Slava Voynov.
That's in Redondo Beach, California, Bob.
He's charged with one felony count of corporal injury to a spouse. Well, so we'll have more information on that a little bit later on. That's too bad, but it was pretty, I think many people expected it. So Rob Ray said on a, where did you think it was?
Calgary.
In Calgary?
No, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Okay. Said it's got to be the, commenting on Toronto, he said, it's got to be the worst place in the world to play. It must be hell. You think that? You think that's true?
That he said it?
No, I know it's true, but he said it. But do you think he's accurate?
Is no. The worst place to play? I think it could be the greatest place to play, too, if you win.
Here's Buffalo Sabres analyst Rob Ray. Now, just I just want to confirm, Rob, that you did say this, right?
Yeah, I probably did.
But did you mean it?
I probably did, yes.
Okay.
But, John, I did follow it up by saying it can be the greatest place.
Good.
Or it can be the worst place. And majority of the time, it's the worst place.
And it's the worst place because?
They're a crappy team. That's why.
No. They're not that crappy. You know, you look around the league, and they're not as far away from a lot of other teams out there that some may think in your little hub of Toronto there. They're just so hard on them. What I don't get is the other night they had a tough game against the Sabres, okay? They're probably the better team. They probably should have won the game. Maybe they, you know, if you're going to throw it down on paper, but it wasn't their night. It wasn't happening for them, and they just get bombarded. Like, I just can't understand how bad it gets when these guys either go on a bad stretch or, you know, I know that things haven't been great there for over the years, but man, like, pounding on them and destroying them mentally doesn't work. It hasn't worked. I think people should step back and see over the last umpteen years by being so negative and pounding them into the dirt the way they do. It doesn't work. Try something different.
Hey, Robin,
we yell at them. They listen to it for a certain amount of time, and then they turn their other ear, and it doesn't work. You try something different.
In your time as a player, was signing, not for you, but for your friends, or maybe it was for you, but signing in Toronto, was it discussed how hard it was to play there?
Oh, yeah. There was guys that would want to play there because they were from there.
Right.
But not guys in the prime of their career. Young guys, yes, because they don't know any different. Because they're coming and they want to play in the NHL and they want to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hey, great. They're there for a short period of time. It's like, oh, my God, what did I get into? And then they look to move on. Or it's older guys that have been around for longer periods of time and maybe looking to go back home or go into an area like Toronto to establish themselves, and it sets them up for, you know, the rest of their lives there for doing things as long as they're a Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right.
So for different reasons, they're not going there because they want to be a part of that whole charade that's going on. It's there because, hey, I want to make the NHL, I want to be a Leaf, and then it comes back to, hey, I want to start thinking about the future and setting myself up for down the road. So it's never in the prime of your career to go there and win.
Well, maybe if they won, the criticism wouldn't be as heavy.
You've been just as long as we have here. You know, and a lot of other places as well have never won. And, you know, we've been since 1970. I know I've been in the room, and I've been on both sides of it here now, and I look and I listen, and it doesn't help. It doesn't help by, you know, everybody around telling you how bad you are and that you suck and that you're never going to be good. And, you know, it just buries you. And these kids this day and age, and I don't care if it's Toronto Maple Leafs, Buffalo Sabres, it doesn't matter. These guys can't handle the criticism this day and age the way they did 20 years ago. You know, 20 or 25 years ago, the guy would have turned and told you to stick it up your, you know, and not bother them. They can't get away from it now with social media and the amount of television, radio, and internet that, oh, man, it's got to take its toll on them. It's got to take its toll. And I actually, for the first time ever, felt bad for those guys the other night, and then listening about, you know, Kessel after the game refusing to speak to the media. In my eyes, that was a smart move on his part because he probably would have said something stupid or bad or wrong and would have been criticized for the next, you know, few months after it.
But I understand what you're saying, and I as part of me doesn't disagree, but when it's 9-2, I mean, they do deserve criticism, and they do deserve to be booed.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. What happens on that ice, you know, you can do that, but there's no need to carry on for long periods of time. Hey, move on to the next game. Wipe the slate clean. Move on. And I don't know. I'm looking how certain coaches out there have success, and it's by being they're stern and they're hard on their players, but they're their friend as well, and they give them a pat on the back. And I look and I see how guys respond by getting that pat on the back once in a while, more than being in your face and trying to bring the best out of you by being in your face and yelling and screaming at you and berating you. And I see much bigger return when these guys come off to get a pat in the back, hey, good shift, this, that, whatever it is. The smiles on their face, and next shift they go out and, you know, they hopefully do the same thing and pick up where they left off. But go in the other direction, and that counts for guys behind the bench to us in so-called media out there. If you're burying them all the time, I'm with the team all the time, and I see when it's bad, and it's been bad here for a couple of years. It doesn't take much to get it turned around and get their heads up, but it only takes the smallest little thing to get them down and out, and you know they're second guessing themselves, and their heads are down. They're not communicating with each other. They look to run away from the rink. They want to get away from the game as quick as possible after practice, and that's not the way to be. And I don't know. I'm only at that point was kind of feeling for them a little bit, and it might not ever happen again because I'm not a big Leafs fan, and I'm just saying this from, you know, just about every other team out there.
Well, all right. I mean, there's not a whole lot of that I agree with, to be honest with you. I know
it's our job to have something to talk about, and it's not to sit there and say, hey, oh, they tried, they worked hard tonight. You know, I know that's not interesting to people, but in the big picture, I don't know. I think that it might be beneficial to the team if, man, it wasn't every day having to deal with it. I've seen the guys and talked to guys that played in that environment, and then when they go somewhere else, they're like, oh, my God, it's the greatest thing in the world. I only got two reporters standing in front of me instead of 30 every day asking a question.
And, yeah, but I don't disagree with that part. I mean, I understand it's difficult because of the quantity of media and the attention that's focused on them. That has got to be difficult, and I addressed it the other day. But I do think, Rob, there's a difference between the quantity of media and how much commitment, how much time you have to commit to it, and you know, suggesting that the media somehow should lighten up or the fans should lighten up, because you've addressed both. Mm-hmm. You've addressed, social media is not the media. Sorry?
But the fan is paying a ticket to be there, and they can express their opinion, you know, at the game, whatever. But two, when you go into and you talk about media, there's different qualities of media as well. There's guys that are going to walk in there and going to know the game, and they're going to ask educated questions, and they're going to understand things that are going on. And then there's other people that aren't.
Right.
And in some cases, that's where a lot of the issues come from.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're out of time, but
it's a good conversation.
Thanks a lot for taking a few minutes for us. We appreciate it. Rob Bray.
Yeah, nothing else to do, dude. We're snowed in here.
Yeah, I hear him. Buffalo Sabres analyst. I mean, there's lots of layers there. But in principle, I'm not buying it. I don't know why we feel the need to navel gaze with the Toronto Maple Leafs to the extent
The one reason to navel gaze is because there are millions of fans in Southern Ontario that love this team and want them to win. Bob.
I get it. Yeah. Well,
and the frustration for them is that they don't win and they're not consistent. And somebody has to talk about it.
I'm simply saying, I understand that it's difficult, but is it unfair? I don't think it's unfair at all.
Just imagine if the team ever really won. Remember the series against Boston?
Well, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. No. So at the end of the day, whose responsibility is it?
Well, it's not yours or mine.
Thank you very much. That's John Shannon. Russell Martin's coming up. This is Primetime.